Fédération de la communauté CKUT FM 90.3.
The following is a previously broadcast program.
Hello, everyone. My name is Julie Bergeron on CKUT 90.3 FM, John Abbott on the air, with Michael Bergeron, a music producer, which we will interview after listening to his latest single, The Same Thing. Michael's latest single, The Same Thing. We have him here in the studio. Hello, Michael. How are you doing today?
I'm doing pretty good. How about you, Julie?
I'm good, thank you. How long have you been making music or first had an interest?
Oh, wow. I mean, it's been quite some time now. I'm 24 years old and I started probably around 8 years old. I got my first guitar around then. Me and my dad took lessons together, so that was very motivating. And then he stopped, and I continued, and I fell in love with it. I got into a band later, maybe a year after I got my first guitar, and that was really fun. We were all a bunch of kids who barely knew how to play the instruments, just jamming together and having a great time, and then that later turned into I discovered hip-hop music, and I kind of dropped the guitar, started rapping a little bit, and after rapping for some time, a couple years went by, I discovered more electronic stuff. So then I moved over to producing, kind of dropped the rapping a little bit, and now I kind of full circled back to making rap music, but on the production side.
Wow, that's really impressive that you started at such a young age. Let me ask you, what genre of music do you make?
Well, kind of like I mentioned a little bit before, but I do a lot of hip-hop with some kind of electronic ambient style in there as well. So mainly hip-hop stuff, but there's definitely a little bit of a electronic vibe. I think that that's always in there, kind of in the background.
Now, how often are you working on your music?
I work on my music quite often, every day, really. Sometimes I can't get to it, but pretty much every single day. I'll be in my room, usually just producing at least an hour each session. Yeah, every day for at least an hour.
And so let me ask you, what makes a good track for you personally?
For me personally, like when I'm producing music, I think I feel the most accomplished, and I feel like the track's most complete when I could feel like it tells a story. It brings me through a journey. You know, there's some music that's kind of cookie cutter, if I may, and it's kind of just a proven template that works, and well, I mean, that's what pop music is, but hip-hop kind of incorporates that a little bit too, a lot. But when I could get a song to tell a story, it has like different moments, brings out more than one emotion, I think that's when I think a song is complete, and I think that's when it's the best.
All right, and a very important question here. Do you have any type of business going on, or it's mainly for fun?
Great question. I do have a business going on. I do sell the licenses to my instrumentals. This is just as kind of a, you know, I get to do what I love, and why not make a little bit of money off it? I'm not necessarily pushing it too hard. I just kind of, I post it online. I have my whole website set up, and it's kind of come as you please. I'm making the beats anyway, so I thought might as well just upload them. And we do. I get a couple hits here and there, and so it's nice to get kind of recognized for your art. So yeah, to answer your question, I do have a little business going on with the instrumentals that I create.
And how does this make you feel when you're making music?
Well, to be honest, it makes me feel a whole lot of different things. Sometimes it makes me feel like I'm on top of the world, and other times I'm completely devastated. And the reason why is that, you know, music sometimes doesn't always work out in the way you want it to. I think that's where the creativity comes into play, is kind of working your way around things, and there's always better music out there, and comparing yourself is just a big rabbit hole you don't want to go down, but sometimes I go down it. And yeah, but when you make something, it completely erases all those other thoughts that you've ever had, and you just feel like you're the only one in the planet, and you just feel great. So yeah, kind of both extremes on that one.
And so I know you've been making music for a while now, but I would like to ask, what is your biggest dream you would like to achieve with music production?
My biggest dream would be doing what I'm doing now, but to be able to sustain myself financially by doing that. So the little business I have on the side where I just sell my instrumentals, I think that'd be great to be able to just live off that.
Well, that's all we have for you today. Thank you, Michael, for taking a bit of your time to answer these questions, and best of luck to you.
Thank you very much, Julie. I had a great time being on the show today.
This was Julie Bergeron interviewing music producer Michael Bergeron on CKUT 90.3 FM, John Abbott, on the air.
Good morning and welcome back to CKUT 98.3 FM, John Abbott on the air. I'm your host, Alessia Pache, and today I'll be interviewing Lisa McKenzie. Lisa is an intuitive branding and marketing mentor and an embodied leadership coach. She is also the host of the monthly Play and Flow gatherings featuring curated guests, creators, and healers who share insights to guide us on our path to conscious alignment in mind, body, and soul. Thank you for joining me, Lisa. So tell me, why did you first start your brand, and what inspired you?
That's a really good question. So I believe that everyone has a spark within them, and the intention to do great things with their lives. And some of those people want to bring something new to the world, and that in the form of starting a business. And I get very excited when I get around those people. So what I wanted to do was become a mentor. With my background in sales and marketing and branding, I know what it feels like to start a business, and I know what it feels like to have someone close to you who can guide you through those intricacies of starting your own business. And with social media, you know, making that business, screaming that business out loud and showing people how you want to be in the world and what you want to bring to the world.
Have you ever had businesses in the past?
I've had many business lifetimes. My latest career in corporate was in finance. And when, after giving birth to my second daughter, I felt like there was something missing in terms of community, especially for women. So I started an organization, and towards the end, I had about 5,000 members around the world. And with the local members, I would do events. I would do weekend getaways to New York City. I would do pamper events. I would have educational workshops, and really with the goal of building community.
Tell me more about your gatherings. They sound really interesting.
So I have been mentoring for about 15 years. In the middle of that mentoring, I was a teacher at Concordia. I think it was probably the first social media program in Canada. So I created a curriculum and taught at Concordia for about, my gosh, I want to say 5 years. And then I spent a few years not having that interaction, not having that group interaction, and just mentoring businesses one-on-one. And I really miss that. And I also recognize that I have some remarkable, brilliant professionals in my own community, from osteopaths to ghostwriters to people who do feng shui, all kinds. And I realize that not everybody has access to that type of person in their life. So every month I showcase one of those professionals. And these are healers. They are people that can help you professionally. And I just create a space, an online space, where people come together on Zoom, and we just get to learn from this professional in a really safe container where we can ask anything. Anything we didn't think we could ask is no holds bar. It's a beautiful space. I actually just hosted one last night.
What do you like better for gatherings, online or in person?
Well, we're living in interesting times right now where in person is not always possible. And some people might feel that being in person is risky, but it's amazing in the last 2 years what we've been able to accomplish using Zoom. And I think if you create a space where people feel comfortable, they soon forget that they're online. I mean, it's wonderful to be in the same space, you know, being able to sit close to people and feel their energy. But there's a lot to be said, you know, lately, you know, with what we can do online. So my preference, I've done both. And my preference right now, I really enjoy the online space. I really love it.
What type of guest have you had?
Okay, so last night, our gathering, we had Pauline Edward. She is a numerologist and an astrologist, and she talked to us about the coming age of Aquarius and what that meant for humanity and the shift we're going to have to make to go from this, you know, this lower consciousness of 3D to a higher consciousness of 5D and what that could mean for humanity. Again, very interesting times. So that was Pauline. And the month before, we had Kevin Lompre, who is, I would say he's an intuitive osteopath. And he helped our guest and myself realize that the pains in the body are tied to emotions and sometimes tied to trauma. And pain isn't always what it looks like. And if we can be brave enough to dig into that pain and to realize where it's coming from, sometimes it's a shift in belief and not necessarily a pain that you're going to live with for the rest of your life.
Let's talk about your coaching. Did you do any specific training to do what you do?
Yes, of course. I've trained as a coach. I've trained as an embodied leadership coach. In terms of the branding and the marketing side, I was certified in social media. Oh my God, it seems like forever ago, but it was in 2009. Yeah, 2009. That's a long time ago. Yeah, when social media was still in diapers. So it's been a long time coaching.
What are the steps that you follow when coaching someone?
So the first step, and I would say it's more an intention than a step, is to listen more than speak. People, unfortunately, in I want to say the last 100 years, we've relied too much on thinking and on our brains. And one of the things that I bring to business owners is I help them get into their heart and stay away from their head, because I think all the answers live in their heart, and it's really making that transition from the brain to the heart. So if I give them the space to tell me what they really want, from what they really want, we can create what their vision is in their business. But first I have to get them out of their head of, this is what I think my business should be, and this is what I truly desire my business to be. And I know that I'm attracting the right type of clients, because my newest client this week said to me, when I asked her what her vision is for her business, she said, I don't know what it looks like, but I know what it feels like. And that's all I had to hear.
So that's pretty all. Much like trust your instincts,
trust your guts. Your gut, just one gut. Trust your gut. Yeah, you already have all the answers. You just need a container that will give you permission to speak out loud what you already feel.
What are some obstacles that you have overcame during the process of building your brand?
So I started building this brand really still feeling that it had to be corporate-like, that I had to speak a certain way, that I had to wear a mask. I had to always, at all times, be professional. And that's not to say that I'm not professional today, but I'm much more transparent. I am much more, one of the things that I learned when I was teaching at Concordia was, it's okay to say that I don't know. So when a student would ask me something, and social media like moves at such a rapid speed, and even there at the beginning, I felt like I'm the teacher, I'm the professor, I have to have all the answers. And it was the courage to say, I that's a great question. I don't have the answer for that, but hey, let's try to find the answer together, or give me a couple of hours and I'll figure it out and I'll come back and tell you. But it's really for some people, for myself, it was really a leap of faith to say, you know, I don't have to have all the answers. So even in whatever business, it doesn't matter, coaching or any other business, it's the courage to say, I don't know. We can't know everything. one of the best things that I've done in my career is to approach everything with curiosity. Even if I had the answer today, yesterday, it doesn't mean it's the same answer today. But if I approach everything with curiosity, then it leaves the space wide open for anything to happen.
Okay. And finally, what advice would you give someone that wants to start their own brand?
A couple of things. Of course, the curiosity aspect is really, really important. And this one I had to learn the hard way. I'm still learning, actually, is launch something, launch anything. Get your feet wet. Even if you're waiting to launch the best brand, you're still going to make mistakes. So rather, you know, I would rather see my clients make mistakes in the beginning as they're learning than to wait till everything is perfect. I mean, if you look at some of the biggest brands, they launch in iterations, which means they might have this big dream to create something, you know, huge to create a school, but they haven't even written their first course. So I work with them to say, okay, write your first course, launch, do a soft launch of that course and tweak it. You know, you're going to get feedback from your students, tweak that course and then launch your second course. Tweak that course and launch another course, and then maybe after 4 or 5 courses, then you might be ready to launch a school. But if you are in your basement, in your bedroom, in Starbucks trying to figure out how you're going to launch that school, that's a lot of pressure, and that's a big weight that you might come up from that cup of coffee 3 years later and realize you haven't done any of it. So write that first course and launch that course first.
I have one more question. Do you mind telling us about one of your gatherings that you host?
Okay, so on the gathering point, I actually host 2 a month. So I host the Play and Flow gatherings, which are like I described before. It's where I invite a healer or a business professional to share their insights with us and to create that space where our guests, our participants, I should say, can ask questions. And I also host another gathering, and that's called the Create and Flow gathering. And this actually started I would say about 3 months after I soft launched it 3 months after the pandemic began. And it was to create a space, kind of like, if you can think back to a couple of thousand years ago, where we'd sit around a bonfire and the elders from the community would share their brilliance. And the other people would, you know, build on that brilliance. Well, the Create and Flow is exactly that. It's a co-working space where we talk about a particular subject in branding and marketing, and everyone is on their own building their business or building their project or writing their book, and I'm there to guide them. So that event is a 3-hour event, and it's held once a month on a Thursday from 10 to 1. And it's a beautiful space, and it's limited to 12 people. So I can really get in, answer their questions, and get them closer and closer to launching that business of their dreams.
Those are some very interesting responses. As I said earlier in the interview, Lisa is an intuitive branding and marketing mentor and an embodied leadership coach. She is also the host of 2 monthly Play and Flow gatherings featuring curated guests, creators, and healers who share insights on this alignment in our body, our mind, body, and soul. Well, that was your host, Alessia Pache, and our guest, Lisa McKenzie, on CKUT 90.3 FM, John Abbott on the air. Hi, this is Marshall Dibo, and you're listening to John Abbott on the Air on CKUT 90.3 FM. With all the emerging rap artists over the decades, there is so much talent to admire, but is there one particular rapper who outshines them all? I asked students from John Abbott College to answer the question, who is the greatest rapper of all time? Here are some of their responses.
Eminem.
Eminem.
J. Cole.
ASAP Rocky.
J. Cole, Kanye West, or...
Yeah, I want to say, yeah, Chance. I think Chance is a pretty good rapper.
Kanye West.
I guess Kanye West.
I'm going to say Drake, just because that's what I listen to on the radio.
I would say Logic.
J. Cole. Juice WRLD, that's it.
I really like J. Cole because I feel like his music consists of more about stories and like things that people can like actually like feel in depth.
Drake, yeah, definitely.
Juice WRLD.
I'll say Juice WRLD also.
Eminem or Macklemore?
In my opinion, the greatest rapper of all time is Kanye West for what he's done to pop culture in general.
I think Tupac's the greatest rapper.
I'm saying Snoop Dogg.
In the end, some of the most popular rap artists according to John Abbott students are J. Cole, Kanye West, Eminem, and Juice WRLD. If you heard an artist that you're not familiar with, I suggest you check them out. You never know who might become the greatest rapper of all time in your mind. Once again, I'm Marshall Dibo, and this is John Abbott on the Air.
Hello, I am Alex Boisvert, and I'm here with my co-host,
Finn Armstrong,
on CKUT 90.3 FM, John Abbott on the Air. And today, we went around campus asking students what their favorite holiday was.
Christmas. It's just a nice holiday to be with your family, you know, outdoor rinks, you know, you go skating. It's a nice holiday overall, you know.
My favorite holiday is Christmas because in my family, we always eat a lot of food. Also, it's easier for the brain, and I think that all, like, the winter, it comes with snow, and also I love, like, going to my cottage and enjoying Christmas there.
My favorite holiday is Hanukkah because it's just 8 days of drip.
I'm going to have to go with New Year's because it gives me an excuse to get plastered.
I really like Halloween. I always go to the bars with my friends, and as a kid, I used to love the excitement of coming home from school knowing you can go get candy with my friends, so it's always going to be sentimentally there for me, Halloween.
As you can see, the majority of the students enjoyed Christmas, and I'm going to be on their side as well. There's just something about Christmas I can't escape. I always have a tradition where I go out with my family to an exotic vacation for a week. So that always has good memories, and that's why Christmas is my favorite. What about you, Finn?
I'd have to agree with them. I like Christmas. I like the outdoor rinks, and I like skiing, and the food is always good.
Again, I'm Alex Boisvert here with Finn Armstrong, and we're signing off CKUT 90.3 FM, John Abbott on the Air. And remember, everyone, to have an amazing rest of your week.
It's John Abbott on the Air on CKUT 90.3 FM. My name's Adriana Ford Scannaberry, and I'm here with my co-hosts, Maria Kerr and Laura D'Souza. Today we are on John Abbott campus asking one question. What is your favorite genre of music and why?
Okay, well, I pretty much like all types of music, but mainly hip-hop and rap, like from the 90s. That's what interests me the most. So I listen to all types of music. I like pretty much every genre, but rock is probably my favorite, and indie, because it's kind of nostalgic.
I like bedroom pop, indie music, because it's calming, and I'm anxious, so it's nice.
I like idlecore because I just like the songs themselves, because they're very energetic and it's very different. It kind of reminds you of like early 2010s pop, and that's what I like about it.
Sorry.
I like K-pop because they have a lot of meaning in their songs, not much talked about in other songs, and they have very good aesthetics.
There you have it. Seems like there's a wide variety of music listeners here. The question asked today was, what is your favorite genre of music and why? My name's Adriana Ford Scannaberry. I'm here today with Maria Kerr and Laura D'Souza. And this is John Abbott on the Air on CKUT 90.3 FM. Thank you.
90.3 FM in Montreal. No boundaries. Feel alive.
Bom Dim Papali. Ah, meu Dim Papali. Ok. Ah, bom. Ah, tranquilo. Na fête.